Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
And now, Chapter 6, Krishna Enters Mathura. While Akrura was offering his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord disappeared from the water exactly as an expert dramatic actor changes his dress and assumes his original feature. After the Vishnu Murti disappeared, Akrura got out of the water. Finishing the rest of his ritualistic performance, he went near the chariot of Balaram and Krishna and was struck with wonder. Krishna asked whether he had seen something wonderful within the water or in space. Akrura said, "My dear Lord, all wonderful things that are happening within this world, either in the sky or in the water or on the land, are factually appearing in your universal form. So when I have seen you, what wonderful things have I not seen?" This statement confirms the Vedic version that one who knows Krishna knows everything, and that one who has seen Krishna has seen everything, regardless of how wonderful a thing may be. "My dear Lord," Akrura continued, "there cannot be anything more wonderful than your transcendental form. When I have seen your transcendental form, what is there left to see?" After saying this, Akrura immediately started the chariot. By the end of the day, they had almost reached the precincts of Mathura. When passing from Vrindavan to Mathura, all passers-by along the way who saw Krishna and Balaram could not help but look at them again and again. In the meantime, the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda and Upananda, had already reached Mathura by going through the forests and rivers, and they were awaiting the arrival of Krishna and Balaram. Upon reaching the entrance to Mathura, Krishna and Balaram got down from the chariot and shook hands with Akrura. Krishna informed Akrura, "You may go home now because we shall enter Mathura later, along with our associates." Akrura replied, "My dear Lord, I cannot go to Mathura alone, leaving you aside. I am your surrendered servant. Please do not try to avoid me. Please come along with me, with your elder brother and cowherd boyfriends, and sanctify my house. My dear Lord, if you come, my home will be sanctified by the dust of your lotus feet. The water emanating from the perspiration of your lotus feet, namely the Ganges, purifies everyone, including the forefathers, the fire god, and all the other demigods. Bali Maharaj has become famous simply by washing your lotus feet, and all his relatives have achieved the heavenly planet due to his contact with the Ganges water. Bali Maharaj himself enjoyed all material opulences and later on was elevated to the highest exalted position of liberation. The Ganges water not only sanctifies the three worlds, but is carried on the head of Lord Shiva. O Supreme Lord of all lords, O Master of the universe, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you." On hearing this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, replied, "Akrura, I shall surely come to your home with my elder brother Balaram, but only after killing all the demons who are envious of the Yadu dynasty. In this way, I shall please all my relatives." Akrura became a little disappointed by these words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he could not disregard the order. He therefore entered Mathura and informed Kamsa about the arrival of Krishna, and then he entered his own home. After Akura's departure, Lord Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys entered Mathura to see the city. They observed that the gate of Mathura was made of first-class marble, very well constructed, and the doors were made of pure gold. There were gorgeous orchards and gardens all around, and the whole city was encircled by cannons, so that no enemy could enter very easily. They saw that all the crossings of the roads were decorated with gold, and there were many rich men's houses, all appearing symmetrical, as if constructed by one engineer. The houses were decorated with costly jewels, and each and every house had nice compounds of trees, of fruits and flowers. The corridors and verandas of the houses were decorated with silk cloth and embroidery work in jewels and pearls. In front of the balcony windows were pigeons and peacocks walking and cooing. All the grain dealers' shops within the city were decorated with different kinds of flowers and garlands, newly grown grass, and pleasing flowers like narcissus and roses. The entrance doors of the houses were decorated with water pots filled with water. Water mixed with yogurt, sandalwood pulp, and flowers was sprinkled all around the doors, which were also decorated with burning lamps of different sizes. Over the doors were decorations of fresh mango leaves and silk festoons. All the doors were decorated in that way. When the news spread that Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys were within Mathura city, all the inhabitants gathered, and the ladies and girls immediately went up to the roofs of the houses to see them. They had been awaiting the arrival of Krishna and Balaram with great anxiety, and in their extreme eagerness to see Krishna and Balaram, the ladies did not dress themselves very properly. Some of them placed their dress in the wrong place. Some anointed their eyes on one side only, and some wore ankle bells only on one leg, or wore only one earring. Thus, in great haste, not even decorated properly, they came to see Krishna from the roofs. Some of them had been taking their lunch, but as soon as they heard that Krishna and Balaram were in the city, they left their eating and ran to the roofs. Some of them were in the bathroom, taking their baths, but without properly finishing their baths, they came to see Krishna and Balaram. Some were engaged in feeding their children breast milk, but put their babies aside and came to see Krishna and Balaram. Passing by very slowly and smiling, Lord Krishna immediately stole their hearts. He who is the husband of the goddess of fortune passed through the street like an elephant. For a long time, the women of Mathura had heard about Krishna and Balaram and their uncommon characteristics, and they were very much attracted and eager to see them. Now, when they actually saw Krishna and Balaram passing on the street and saw them sweetly smiling, the ladies' joy reached the point of ecstasy. When they actually saw them with their eyes, they took Krishna and Balaram within their hearts and began to embrace them to their fullest desire. Their hairs stood up in ecstasy. They had heard of Krishna, but they had never seen him, and now their longing was relieved. After going up on the roofs of the palaces of Mathura, the ladies, their faces joyful, began to shower flowers upon Krishna and Balaram. When the brothers were passing through the streets, all the Brahmins in the neighborhood also went out with sandal water and flowers and respectfully welcomed them to the city. All the residents of Mathura began to talk among themselves about the elevated and pious activities of the people of Vrindavan. The residents of Mathura were surprised at the pious activities the cowherd men in Vrindavan must have performed in their previous lives to be able to see Krishna and Balaram daily as cowherd boys. While Krishna and Balaram were passing in this way, they saw a washerman and dyer of clothing. Krishna was pleased to ask him for some nice clothing. He also promised that if the washerman would deliver the nicest dyed cloth to him, he would be very happy and all good fortune would be his. Krishna was not a beggar, nor was he in need of clothing. But by this request, he indicated that everyone should be ready to offer to Krishna whatever he wants. That is the purpose of Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, this washerman was a servant of Kamsa, and therefore he could not appreciate the demand of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the effect of bad association. He could have immediately delivered the clothing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who promised him all good fortune. But being a servant of Kamsa, the sinful demon could not accept the offer. Instead of being pleased, he was very angry and refused the Lord's request, saying, "How is it that you are asking clothing, which is meant for the king?" The washerman then began to instruct Krishna and Balaram, "My dear boys, in the future, don't be so impudent as to ask for things which belong to the king. Otherwise, you will be punished by the government men. They will arrest you and punish you, and you will be in difficulty. I have practical experience of this fact. Anyone who unlawfully wants to use the king's property is very severely punished." On hearing this, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, became very angry at the washerman, and striking him with the upper portion of his hand, he separated the man's head from his body. The washerman fell down dead on the ground. In this way, Lord Krishna confirmed the statement of Brahma Samhita that every limb of his body is capable of doing everything he likes. Without a sword, but simply with his hand, he cut off the head of the washerman. This is proof that the Supreme Lord is omnipotent. If he wants to do something, he can do it without extraneous help. After this ghastly incident, the employees of the washerman immediately dispersed, leaving the clothing. Krishna and Balaram took possession of it and dressed according to their choice. The rest of the clothes were offered to the cowherd boys, who also used them as they desired. What they did not use remained there. They then continued to proceed. In the meantime, a devotee tailor took the opportunity of service and prepared some nice clothes from the cloth for Krishna and Balaram. Thus, being very nicely attired, Krishna and Balaram looked like elephants dressed with colored clothing on the full moon day of the dark moon day. Krishna was very much pleased with the tailor and gave him the benediction of Sarupya Mukti, which means that after leaving his body, he would be liberated and would attain a body exactly like that of four-handed Narayan in the Vaikuntha planets. He also granted him that as long as he would live, he would earn sufficient opulence to be able to enjoy sense gratification. By this incident, Krishna proved that those who are Krishna-conscious devotees will not be lacking material enjoyment of sense gratification. They will have sufficient opportunity for such things. But after leaving this life, they will be allowed to enter the spiritual planets of Vaikuntha Loka or Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan. After dressing nicely, Krishna and Balaram went to a florist of the name Sudama. As soon as they reached the precinct of his house, the florist immediately came out and with great devotion fell down on his face to offer his respectful obeisances. He offered a nice seat to Krishna and Balaram and asked his assistant to bring out flowers and betel nuts smeared with pulp of chandan. The florist's welcome greatly satisfied the Lord. the florist very humbly and submissively offered his prayers to the Lord, saying, "My dear Lord, because you have come to my place, I think all my forefathers and all my worshipable superiors are pleased and delivered. My dear Lord, you are the supreme cause of all causes of this cosmic manifestation. But for the benefit of the residents of this earthly planet, you have appeared with your plenary portion to give protection to your devotees and annihilate the demons. You are equally disposed as the friend of all living entities. You are the supersoul, and you do not discriminate between friend and enemy. Yet you are pleased to give your devotees the special result of their devotional activities. My Lord, I am praying that you please tell me whatever you wish me to do, because I am your eternal servant. If you will allow me to do something, it will be a great favor to me." The florist, Sudama, was greatly pleased within his heart by seeing Krishna and Balaram in his place. And thus, as his choicest desire, he made two exquisite garlands of various flowers and presented them to the Lord. Both Krishna and Balaram were very pleased with his sincere service, and Krishna offered the florist his salutation and benediction, which he is always prepared to bestow upon the surrendered souls. When the florist was offered benediction, he begged from the Lord that he might remain his eternal servant in devotional service, and by such service do good to all living creatures. By this it is clear that a devotee of the Lord in Krishna consciousness should not be satisfied simply by his own advancement in devotional service. He must be willing to work for the welfare of all others. This example was followed by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. It is therefore stated in a prayer about them, "Lokanam hitakarano." Vaishnavs, or devotees of the Lord, are not selfish. Whatever benefit they derive from the Supreme Personality of Godhead as benediction, they want to distribute to all other persons. That is the greatest of all humanitarian activities. Being satisfied with the florist, Lord Krishna not only gave him benedictions for whatever he wanted, but over and above that, offered him all material opulences, family prosperity, long duration of life, and whatever else his heart desired within the material world. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the second volume, sixth chapter of Krishna, Krishna Enters Mathura.